Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the Foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website, foundation@hearstcastle.com, to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Ritz-Carlton Resort in Half Moon Bay, California. Come along and join me for a conversation with key players who make the Ritz a truly exceptional experience. First up is Roberto Riveros, executive chef, followed by Sheila Buchanan, hotel manager, and then Jason Rosenberry, director of sales and marketing. Come along and join the conversation. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Ritz-Carlton, Half Moon Bay. Come along and join me for a conversation with Roberto Riveros Leighton. He's the executive chef. Hi, Roberto.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm great. First thing that I'm curious about is where you grew up and how you first got an interest in culinary things.
Well, I'm from Chile, and I started my career over there, and I moved into Barcelona, 22 years old.
For school?
In the beginning, it was for work, and I was just enjoying for a couple of years Barcelona. After a while, I served 12 years in Barcelona, so it was a long trip, I want to say.
Is that where you got the bug for cooking?
Cooking? Well, I have a passion from when I remember very little, and then in Barcelona it was open more my mind and start to see more the Mediterranean cuisine, all the influence they have over there with the modern cuisine as well, France as well. So that opened my mind, and I all my career is almost in Barcelona.
So did you do an stage? Did you work?
Yeah, I've been working with the Ritz-Carlton company as well over there in Barcelona. And then after a while, I start to see different Michelin star restaurants. So I start to have some of three Michelin star restaurants for a while. And after that, I decide to come back to working in the Ritz-Carlton. So I'm moving from Barcelona to Hong Kong. So,
oh, wow. That's a switch.
Yeah.
But so still with the Ritz-Carlton.
I see with the Ritz-Carlton. So I've been working in the Ritz-Carlton Hong Kong as well. Mm-hmm. So continue learning something different because it's in another side of the world.
When you were in Hong Kong, you have that whole Asian cuisine, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that was a game changer for you in some ways, right?
Yeah. But it's fantastic because, like I always say, like the kitchen is connecting with the people. The food is connecting with the people. So in the end of the day, I have the same ingredient in my country, but they're using completely different over there. Mm-hmm. So it's continued learning and connecting with the people over there, not only with the culinary team, but connecting with the guests as well, with the service team as well. So it was incredible journey in the other side. So it was a fantastic time. And then something happened and came to California. So it was a fantastic trip over here.
When did you first come to California?
My first time, it came in 2019. I came to visit this hotel, and then I fell in love with the area, with the coast, with the sunset. Even I came in January, and I said, like, well, it's going to be winter. No, it's fantastic. I think it was the best time coming in January because it's still great weather in the coast, and you found a fantastic day here.
Did you come on holiday or did you come to work?
I come directly to work to visit first to see, okay, is it an hotel in the middle of nowhere? I mean, that's stranger. But when I came here, I said, like, no, that's great. Just 25 minutes from San Francisco.
But we could be 1,000 miles from anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I know.
How close and yet so far away.
Yeah. At the same time, it's like the peace that we have here is incredible. It's another side of the world, I'm going to say.
Talk to us about your philosophy of cuisine. Do you include some classical French and then melding with Asian cuisine because your time in Hong Kong?
Yeah, we try to have a good connection with all the local products, and we're using modern cuisine as well in our restaurant. So we try to implement new dishes, new product, trending top products as well at the same time, and try to include in all our menu, not just only the restaurant as well. We're using in the banquet kitchen as well. We're using in our outdoor dining restaurant that is more casual. You know, people want to see something different that this is as a normal.
Talk to us about sourcing your raw ingredients, because you literally are in a very world famous growing region.
Yeah, here we have fantastic ingredients. I mean, I feel very grateful to have California's ingredient, especially we have many local farms all around that we are working very close of them.
So you have ongoing relationships with the growers.
Yes, and this is good because they have some product that is not all the year round. So that is great for me because then we can play with the seasonal.
Right.
Then we can play with the different flavor. Like we are just around the corner of a pumpkin season as well. So this is going to be, it's unique, I can say.
But being such a temperate climate, it's possible to source greens here year-round, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We have plenty of things that is growing all year-round, but it's good to have different sources that we can still play in the kitchen with some of the ingredients.
And then you're very close to Salinas Valley. And as you know, Salinas Valley in Monterey County is, they call it the salad bowl of the world.
Yeah. Actually, we have a good relation with one of our vendors. It's a little bit near close to Pescaderos as well, that also is very famous by lettuce and everything. And we have a very close vendor here in 92 that is organic lettuce as well. And they deliver every 3 days to us, so it's more than fresh impossible.
So is organic central to your sourcing? Do you try and do that whenever, wherever possible?
Yeah, especially for the greens, we try to be the most organic that's possible. And something that we are implementing after almost 1 year already is 100% sustainable seafood in the hotel. So all the seafood that we have is 100% sustainable. So this is be green, continue green.
And you must have fun seasonally again, because the strawberries right here around Half Moon Bay are some of the sweetest, most wonderful on planet Earth.
Yeah, I can say it's a fun day in the kitchen to find different products that we can have, or different ingredient that we can start to using, because we, of course the fish or the seafood also is for season. So right now we're going to finish all the Hollywood, but then we're going to start with the sea bass and something like this.
And right just north of us, you have Princeton Harbor, Half Moon Bay, and the fishing boats come in. Do you go down there and create relationships with the fishermen themselves?
Exactly. And we're going to there and we're talking about, hey, what is the best fish that is coming right now? Or even we go to Tamales Bay to see the oyster as well. That is incredible.
Oh, those are world famous.
Oh, this is, and it's fantastic. There's many oyster over there.
I mean, I'm all the way down in Louisiana, and there they are at a food fest. So that follows that your menu is never-changing landscape. When you come in 6 months from now, you'll see different things on the menu.
Yeah, we try to keep our best-selling item, that the people are always looking for that one.
Yeah, because you'll have riots if you try and take it away.
Exactly. For example, I have one of the most famous chopinos in conservatory, and I don't want to change this one. This is a fantastic dish. But we are still continuous chain on the other restaurant or different dishes as well.
If all those that you would do a really cool ceviche, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm lucky that I have one of my chefs is from Mexico.
Oh, and, perfect.
He making a great ceviche over there as well. We have in a competition, say, like, my Chilean ceviche is a little bit better, but your Mexican ceviche is different.
That's really cool. And how about your meat? You would have, I mean, you have Sonoma, you know, legendary.
Yeah.
How about closer here in Half Moon Bay.
We are using some of meat from San Rafael, very close by, and every week we receive duck from Sonoma. It's a great source of duck, and they are good name all around USA on this.
Well, around the world, you know, we take it for granted here, but all of a sudden you're over in France or whatever, and it's Sonoma, you know, Valley, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You're going, wow.
Yeah.
So talk to us about, one, your roots in Spain and things that you learned, part of your lexicon as a chef, that you keep with you. What are some of the classic things that are central to your culinary?
Like I say, it's Barcelona is coast of Mediterranean food. So I have a big mix between good veggies, good vegetable, good fish as well, good meat, good combination, rice as well, pasta. So something that I always and I bring it with me. And at the same time, majority of the recipes over there, they are very traditional. So it's like a good recipe. It's cooking for hours in the kitchen, so the flavor is still there.
So it's almost like that farm style.
Yeah. Exactly.
Close to the earth.
Yeah.
I love it. So talk to us about your menu. What would be a signature dish, something like we talked about, there'd be riots if you tried to take it away.
Well, one of the signature dishes that we have on the conservatory is our most famous chopino, I want to say, and the pumpkin season that we have our pumpkin soup as well. And then I don't want to make the competition in Navio, that is my other big restaurant, so they try to making different dishes with the seasonal product as well.
So did you a pumpkin pie?
My pastry team, yes. Pumpkin pie and pumpkin patch as well. So
that's really
have a
cool.
Good competition on this one.
And how about a signature meat dish that people really love?
Signature meat dish. Right now we have some of Flannery steak that is dry aged for 28 days. So it's a perfect balance in flavor and texture as well, that is not too strong. And then you can still remember, but at the same time it's very tender and very soft. So this is one of the signature dishes that we have on the Navio restaurant.
Let's go back to Hong Kong for a moment. And kind of eye-opening game changers for you. Things like epiphanous moments like, wow, that have stayed with you that you brought here.
Something that I learned a lot in Hong Kong is have a good communication with the people. They show me a lot of emotional when they are cooking as well. So at the same time I feeling when I cooking, I have a lot of emotion with the team. And I try to say, look, everything that you are cooking is with love. Everything that you are presenting on the table is with passion. And in Hong Kong, many chefs over there, they are like this. They are cooking with passion, cooking with love. So this is something that I carry all my life with me, and it's made me wow. Great.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And then let's go back to your roots with your mom and dad when you were a kid. You know, when did you first get that connection with actually making dishes? How old were you?
This is a good question, because many people say, like, oh, probably your mother or your dad is cooking great. Fantastic. I say, actually, no. It's not the reality. Probably nobody in my family is coming from the kitchen or the culinary. Even in my family, all of them, they're cooking very good, but nobody have the passion that I have. Like, I want to be a chef. I have nobody in my family chef right now.
Interesting. How did that happen with you?
Well, I have no idea. I always
just a natural.
Yeah. I always enjoy eat good food, and I always was very curious. Like, okay, how to prepare this one? I want to do this one. So my first experiment in the kitchen was a little bit hard. So, yeah, my mom is helping me and everything, and said, like, okay, but if it's not good, you go to eat everything, okay? Yeah, but if it's good, we're going to share. Okay, fine. So in the beginning was hard, but then after a while, I started to perfect. And now she feels very proud of me now.
Talk for a moment about plating and presentation in your philosophy.
Well, my philosophy always, I want to say that every single dish and every single element, when it's put on the plate, need to be good by separate. But when you put all together, it's amazing. It's like an incredible description. So I be very consistently on taking every single flavor of the dish. For example, if it's the sauce. The sauce needs to be good balance, at the same time that not cover any other flavor. Because if the sauce is too hard, and the flavor, it's going to be covered probably the good flavor of the fish, or if we have some of clams, for example, it's going to be covered the flavor. So my idea always is have good balance in all the ingredients. Mm-hmm. And when you're plating, you need to, like I say, you need to use your passion, your emotion at the same time.
How does your visual presentation, you know, how do you a lot of garnishes, you know, how do you create that visual appeal?
I want to say that I try to be very clean when I present in a dish, when I am plating a dish. I don't want to cover anything, because in the end of the day, when the plate is coming to your table, you want to see every single element, and you want to identify as a guest. It's like, oh, what is that? Oh, this is a cream, this is a puree, this is a sauce. You don't want to see everything on another one. So to cover, at the same time, we're going to cover the flavor and the presentation.
Let's talk something real basic, bread. Talk to us about that, because I mean, I was at the Mandarin Oriental and I'm asking for a doggy bag for their bread.
Wow.
That's how good it was.
I love bread. Mm-hmm. I love bread. And I can say Spain is a good place to eat bread. France, I've been a couple of times in France. It's a fantastic place to eat the bread. Here we have a fantastic bakeries as well. Mm-hmm. So that's really good. And in Hong Kong, I learning something different with the bread, that not just to be in the regular oven, can be steam as well.
Oh, interesting.
So it's completely different flavor and different texture, and it's making with a different flour, because we're using rice flour. So it's something different to learn.
Isn't that interesting? Because a lot of people just take bread for granted.
Oh, yeah.
And yet it can be a real important balance of that whole
No, dinner. But it's good. And then in Europe, have a long culture about the bread. So this is something that I learning a lot about over there. And I still have in my home a sourdough. I still keep him feeding in the fridge. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sometimes I'm making bread, not always. I don't have to make it always, but yeah, I make it at home as well.
In San Francisco, somebody was telling me they have a starter that goes back to the gold rush.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and they have good bakeries here, like for many years. Actually, we're working with one of these bakeries. They deliver bread every single day to us. Mm-hmm. So it's incredible bread, local one, and a good flavor.
Okay, let's go to my favorite subject, desserts.
Ooh. Yeah.
Tell us about what is central, what you're most proud of.
Well, we have very good variation of dessert here. And I want to say, so one of my first jobs in the kitchen was a pastry. So I have a very little experience in pastry, but was my basic. So any pastry, believe or not, is very, very, very strict. So you need to be, every single need to be in a gram, a perfect gram. You know, if you go to put, I don't know, 100 grams of sugar, need to be 100 grams. Cannot to be 100, 200, because you need to be very exactly on this one. So
give us an example of one of your signature desserts that people ask for all the time.
Well, signature dessert here is going to be coming soon in December, our pinecone. That is one of the signature desserts that we have here. Every year we're making chocolate pinecone for the Christmas season as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't tell you anymore, because you need to come to try one day.
I will,
in December.
Yeah, I will be here. Now you got me curious. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. And how about a classic dessert that people expect?
Classic dessert, we have them for the beginning of this year. We're using our Bake Alaska. It was one of our classic dessert here for all the beginning of this year. And now we are thinking to do some renovation on the Bake Alaska for probably the end of this year, and serving in the beginning of next year as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one more time, got to go back to Hong Kong. I spent a lot of time in China, Hong Kong, and I love the food there.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah, even noodles.
Yeah.
So tell us about something that you've melded into your cuisine from the Asian style of food.
Oh, well, I learning about a lot of about the tofu as well over there. They're using a lot soya bean, mm-hmm. and all the product about provenance for the soy. So this is a great ingredient that you can make in a lot of things over there. And we are using a few things here. Of course, we don't want to go too far away from our route over here, mm-hmm. but it's good to have something included in the menu.
Would there be, could there be like a signature California dish?
It's a lot of thing in California that you can use. Actually, we have a great ocean over here, you know, we have good meat, we have good veggies as well all around. It's complicated to say this.
Yeah, yeah. But let's stick with seafood, for example. Mm-hmm. Would salmon be a go-to for you?
Salmon could be, and well, the crab as well. Crab in San Francisco and all the Bay Area is one of the most popular, and salmon as well. Mm-hmm. And as well, we're going to back again to the season. It's everything for season, so it's good that you're expecting this one. Okay, the season is coming soon, so.
Okay. Bottom line, if you had to come up with one signature dish that was a metaphor that symbolized you and your culinary talents, what would it be?
Wow. This is like asking for a chef, hey, what is your favorite dish?
I know.
Like, they will say everything.
Yeah.
You don't have a favorite dish. Yeah. I don't know what I can say.
Let's say we're putting a menu together for tonight. What would be your main entree? You could only have one main entree. What would you come up with?
I will offer you here, for example, a good duck. Mm-hmm. That is going to be local as well. And then we, with good flavors. Also, I can offer you a good clam chowder that is local as well. And I don't want to say this one, but our clam chowder is the best in all the area. But it's fantastic. Yeah, every weekend we receive tons of feedback from our clam chowder. So, and it's simple dish. It's a simple. I don't want to go too far away and then say like, wow, this is going to be the most luxury dish. No, but it's simple. It's good. Mm-hmm. And for our weather all time in the Bay Area, it's good to eat that one.
Very, very cool. All right. Well, it's your turn.
All right.
Yeah. share something that's close to your heart.
So, coming soon in November, we have a great event here in our property. That is the Global Cuisine Series. Global Cuisine is we have been making for almost 6 years.
Oh wow!
Global Cuisine is our one invitation of our what we're making for one international or national chef. Is coming here, stay with us. 3-4 days.
So a guest chef,
yeah. Exactly. And we're making an event with him in our main dining restaurant, Navio. So basically it's a 2 day for dinner that our invite chef is coming here, spend all day with us in the kitchen making a dish for the dinner. And it's a dinner with our chef de cuisine, Francisco Simon from Navio. So basically it's a tasting menu for that night that we have. For example, our tasting menu is 7 courses, so we have 4 courses for us, and then we have 3 courses for our guest chef. So it's in other countries we say a 4-hand dinner or 6-hand dinner when it's 3 chefs. So that is going to be happening in November, in the week of the November 11. So this time we will have a chef, Noah Sandoval from Oriole. It's a restaurant in Chicago with 2 Michelin stars. So we are very, very excited to having him here. Some names that I can say in the past that we have in this Global Cuisine is Dominic Cream for the Atelier Cream in San Francisco. I want to remind that Dominic Cream was the first female lady with 3 Michelin stars in the United States.
Wow.
So that is a huge.
That's huge.
It's fantastic. And we have her a couple of years ago here in Navio as a guest chef as well. So that is the caliber that we are inviting chef here.
That's really cool. And you have 2 dining venues here, right?
Yes, we have 2. Actually, we have 3 restaurants.
Okay.
So we have the Navio. It's our fine dining restaurant. It's open from Wednesday to Sunday. And then also we have the Saturday and Sunday brunch that is more than recommendable. Then we have our all dining restaurant, it's the Conservatory. So it's the first beautiful restaurant. As soon as you enter to the hotel, you will see this amazing window on the restaurant that you can dine in and see one of the most beautiful sunset. And then outdoor, we have an ocean terrace that is our restaurant more casual, that you can have an amazing oyster for Tamales Bay here, a try-in, or simple ceviche as well. And again, you can enjoy the breeze of the ocean because it's odor resonant.
That's cool. And this is a 5-star resort destination, but by no means are all the people that come to your restaurant guests here. You have people from San Francisco or San Jose that come here just to dine.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. We have, I can say, for example, for Navio, our maybe 80% of our guests is a local guest. Mm-hmm. They come in here, they cross the hill of San Mateo. They came here to only dining with us, and they're local. They are living in San Francisco, they are living in San Mateo, Palo Alto as well. So, mm-hmm. And we won then, of course.
And they keep coming back for more.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we invite, we always say our invitation for the new event that we have here, for example, the Global Cuisine, or coming soon, our Pumpkin Festival as well.
That's really cool. Roberto Riveros Leighton, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Yeah.
It was a pleasure to talk with you, and I invite all people that came passing by Half Moon Bay. It's a beautiful place, and of course, the Ritz-Carlton Half Moon Bay as well.
You're spoiled, you know that.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Ritz-Carlton in Half Moon Bay, California. We'll see you here.
Good afternoon, Tom. My name is Sheila Bucheman. I'm the hotel manager here at the magnificent Ritz-Carlton Half Moon Bay.
As they say, the buck stops here.
Yes, indeed.
You're responsible for overall day-to-day operations.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I have the absolute pleasure to work very closely with every single lady and gentleman here in the hotel operations. I actually visualize and see myself as a conductor of an orchestra. So again, working with different departments from front desk, taking care of our guests during check-in, housekeeping, cleaning the guest rooms, from our culinarians making those exquisite meals. I make sure that everyone is working cohesively together, mm-hmm. and creating those exceptional experiences towards our guests. So making sure that everyone's aligned and here for that one mission.
That's really cool. Let's go back in time. How did it all start for you, this career?
Oh, yes. So I've been in the industry for about 17 years. I wanted to share the story of how I joined the company because I think it's really amazing. So I started working at a luxury hotel in New York City when my husband and I decided to move to Florida. So at the time, I was looking for the best hotels I can move to. And there's only 3 resorts that are 5-star hotels. Of course, simultaneously, I applied at all these 3 properties. And because of my experience in having to work at a luxury hotel in New York City, I was offered a job at all these 3 hotels, uh-huh. right? So of course what I did some research, you know, knowing myself, knowing my capabilities, my passion for the industry. I want to be able to work for a company who I share the same vision and passion when it comes to the hospitality. Mm-hmm. And that's when I stumbled upon the Ritz-Carlton. And if you look at the website, what really stands out there is the gold standards, and particularly for me, the employee promise. So again, going back to myself, you know, knowing what I can do, passion about taking care of others, passion about creating exceptional memories, what's in it for me working for Ritz-Carlton? That's when I learned that with the employee promise, Ritz-Carlton believes that the ladies and gentlemen, which is their employees, mm-hmm. are the most important resource in the service commitment to their guests. So I said, okay, well, that's a big deal. I'm important, and I want to mm-hmm. be part of something important. And then another portion of the employee promise talks about the ladies and gentlemen, we maximize the talent to the benefit of each individual in the company. So again, going back to myself, because again, this is all about me, I said, I want to be able to work for a company where I can continuously learn and grow. And that's what the Ritz-Carlton is all about, maximizing a talent mm-hmm. To make sure that we provide the best service and the best opportunities for our guests. And last but not the least, the employee promise talks about how diversity is valued, quality of life is enhanced, individual aspirations are fulfilled, and the Ritz-Carlton mystique is strengthened. And then again, that just sums it all about, you know, having to work at a company where workplace diversity and inclusivity is a paramount importance. Mm-hmm. I want to be part of that. So I picked the Ritz-Carlton, and now 17 years later, here I am, very proud.
I love it. Well, it's been 20-some years ago, I was at the Ritz-Carlton Laguna Niguel, and a management guy showed me this card that all employees had to carry. And there you got your pulling them out.
Yes,
the Ritz-Carlton Credo.
Yes, the Ritz-Carlton Credo.
Okay, so one of the items on that I never forgot, and it's in itself is a seminal game changer in a functional, viable corporate hotel, and that is, to paraphrase, let's say you're in groundskeeping, and a guest comes to you and says, you know, I have a problem in my bathroom. In many corporate structures, it could go, well, that's not my department, I'll have to, you know, refer it on.
Yeah.
And in the Ritz-Carlton Credo is, you as the employee own that problem and manage it until it's resolved.
Absolutely.
That is so awesome.
Absolutely. Let me elaborate a little bit about the Credo. So the Credo is a Latin word that means I believe, right? Mm-hmm. So all of the ladies and gentlemen, you know, we call our employees ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, believe the Credo, and it's really the environment that we're creating for our guests. So when we talk about the Ritz-Carlton, which is the genuine care and comfort of our guests is our highest mission, going back to that complaint, right, our highest mission is to take care of that complaint, right? We don't pass it on to the manager.
Exactly.
We don't make sure that, you know, like, we want to make sure that everything is taken care of for the guests. So owning it and having that sense of empowerment, we tell our ladies and gentlemen that there's nothing me as a hotel manager can do that they cannot do. Yeah. So whatever it takes to take care of that guest, they can do as well.
That's so wonderful, and it's so simple. And yet, in parts of corporate America, it's not operative.
Yes.
You know, it's just crazy that here's a system that works. I was just in Virginia interviewing a hotelier who used to work at Ritz-Carlton, and he brought along with him all those management philosophies to his independent flag hotel.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, we have a lot of amazing companies out there that actually do want to learn more about the Ritz-Carlton. Mm-hmm. Just to name a few, Apple actually took the opportunity to learn all about our service standards. You've heard of Chick-fil-A, right?
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A also learned about our service culture. So all these amazing companies, they want to learn what the Ritz-Carlton is all about.
Well, it's fascinating. You know, I'm not being paid to say this, but you guys really are a leader and a trendsetter, not only in the hospitality hotel business, but in hospitality in general, treating people.
Yes, no, absolutely. And what really set us apart, you know, going back to this gold standards and creating those indelible memories for our guests. So we believe that by us creating these exceptional memories, the Ritz-Carlton lives through and through throughout the guest journey. And we're really good in creating all those unique wow stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you've probably heard some of those exciting wow stories that happen at other properties. But just to name a few here at the resort, just most recently, and it's really a fun experience. You know, a family was just visiting, and this little boy was dressed up in a Spider-Man costume, right? And of course, you know, all of the ladies and gentlemen at the restaurant was just engaging with this little boy. And it's just so cute how this boy would just do this hand gestures, right? Pretending to, you know, like cast a spider web out of, you know, with his hand. But anyways, during the conversation with the family, they learned that the boy has not, you know, watched the movie. So with the parents' consent, we were able to create this wow experience for the family. So we changed one of our meeting rooms into a mini cinema with a projector and screen, popcorn, with beanie bags on the floor, and we created this nice movie experience for the family. And of course, when a little boy came in with a Spider-Man costume, it was just, you know, such a delight, and the mom was just in tears. So that's just one of a few wow stories that we've done.
One more, this is great.
Yeah.
Another wow story.
Another wow story. So I know earlier we talked about, you know, this global pandemic that happened, right? And of course, you know, it's no longer an excuse for all of us. You know, we try to create whatever it takes to create that experience for our guests. So a couple was supposed to go to Greece. And of course, travels had changed because of the circumstances happened earlier in the year. But that took us an opportunity to really create an exceptional experience for the guests. So even though we were plan B, we wanted to create that wow moment. So what the team did is they printed a big photo of Santorini, Greece, and placed it in the guest room, decorated the room with blue balloons. We went to a local Greek bakery to have these delicious pastries, selected a perfect Greek wine as a welcome amenity, and when the guests arrived, they were just so blown away. So even though they're here at Half Moon Bay, they get to enjoy all the wonders and delights of Greece.
And this was a 100% surprise.
It's a 100% surprise, yes.
How cool.
Yes, absolutely.
One more, if you can think of it.
Oh, of course.
These are great.
Yeah, so I have this amazing wow story, actually, that happened just recently. So we have a guest that was planning a stay here at the resort. They were actually celebrating their 20th wedding anniversary. So they're renewing their vows, essentially, as well. During the course of the conversation with the guests prior to their arrival, we learned that the guests actually had an unfortunate situation prior to the wedding. So 2 days prior to the wedding, the bride's father had passed away tragically because of a car accident, right? And again, being able to turn a negative situation into a positive guest experience, the team came together. Our pastry chef was able to connect with the guest, having to understand how does the wedding cake look like, right? And we were able to replicate it. In addition to that, you know, the team was able to play the song that the guest was playing during the wedding ceremony itself. And then somehow they were able to have a photo of the father and then the family in the suite as well during their arrival. So being able to create that experience for the guest created a lasting memory.
That's really cool. Hospitality at its finest. Okay. One more.
You want to do one more wow story?
Well, yeah, or just whatever's closest to your heart.
Okay, one more wow story.
Well, I don't know about the teddy bear.
You don't know about the teddy bear?
No. Just we know about
it. I know we know about it, and we're thinking, okay, let's do the teddy bear. Okay. All right, so I have another wow story to share. So this wow story is about a family traveling with a little girl. And the little girl have had this teddy bear since she was a baby. So the girl was 7 years old. Clearly the teddy bear was 7 years old as well. So as a typical cleaning process of the guest room, the teddy bear was mixed in with the sheets, unfortunately, and it got missed. When the guests returned from the guest room, the teddy bear was not there. And of course, you know, you can just imagine how it created an unfortunate situation for the little girl. So she was very sad. She's 7 years old and she had this teddy bear since she was born, so the teddy bear was 7 years old as well, right? But it's so cute. But she lost the teddy bear, and guest was unhappy. Everyone just sprang into action, right? Because we're here in a mission to find this bear and be able to retrieve it for the guest. Fortunately, we were able to find it, right? And typically, someone would just return a teddy bear, but we're here to create an experience, and we're here to create a story and a memory that would last for a lifetime. So the team gathered together and say, why don't we take this teddy bear in a journey? Let's take the teddy bear to the fitness center, take a photo of it. Let's take this teddy bear to the spa, take a photo of it. So we took this teddy bear around the hotel and took every single photo where this teddy bear had this mini adventure. To top it all off, we created this little booklet compiling all of the photos that we've gathered and created a wow story around it. So we presented a teddy bear to this little girl along with this mini booklet with a story of where the teddy bear has been, reassuring the girl that don't worry, I was actually having fun with the ladies and gentlemen of the Ritz-Carlton. So this is one of those wow stories that we're very proud of because it brings a team together and really creating an exceptional experience for the guest.
I love it. That's so touching.
Yes, thank
you.
How
cool, yeah. Well, anything you want to add about what's closest to your heart in your job, in your duties?
Yes. What's really near and dear to me is really being able to take care of our guests. I wanted to highlight that when we do our selection process for our ladies and gentlemen that work here, is that we always tap into that natural talents and abilities of them, right? Because at the end of the day, yes, we're a hotel. Yes, we're here to feed the guests, to have a room for them to sleep in. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we're here to take care of our guests. So being able to have ladies and gentlemen that really care for our guests makes it easy for us to really live the gold standards, live what the Ritz-Carlton is all about, and being able to take care of those unexpressed wishes and needs of our guests.
I'm sure it still remains, but I know years ago I was impressed. It wasn't just one interview to be hired.
Yes.
There were multiple. Talk to us about that.
Yes, it's truly a selection process, because you interview with a recruiter, then you interview with your department leader, and then at the same time, you interview with the hotel manager, the general manager, because we're all involved in the planning of the work that affects us, and we wanted to make sure that we select the best ladies and gentlemen for the role.
That's so cool. So hospitality at its finest.
Yes, yes.
I love it. So to learn more about your world.
To learn more about the Ritz-Carlton Half Moon Bay, visit our website, ritzcarlton.com/halfmoonbay. And we're looking forward to welcoming you at the resort. Again, my name is Sheila Bucheman, hotel manager.
Sheila, thank you so much. This has been a great day in paradise.
Great.
And I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Ritz-Carlton Half Moon Bay. We'll see you here. So here we are in Half Moon Bay at the Ritz-Carlton, right front row center on the ocean front.
So I'm Jason Bossenberry. I'm the director of sales and marketing here at this wonderful property here in Half Moon Bay.
Tell us what's unique and distinctive about your duties here versus another corporate flag property somewhere else.
First of all, the atmosphere is quite different. I recently moved here from a quite different climate in Miami, Florida.
Oh, wow.
You know, originally I'm from Toronto, Canada, so that's also a different climate. But I think as well, just in terms of the overall beauty, every day I drive in, I go over the hill, as we say, and I have an incredible drive into the property, which really energizes me. Then once you get here, it's just even more impactful and you know, really gives you some good oomph to start the day. But my day-to-day duties here a little bit different. I get to greet all of our clients coming in to the property. I also get to help tell the story of this incredible property that's been here since 2001. It's quite a fun story. We have an incredible destination here. Half Moon Bay is very unique in which, you know, we're a microclimate in an area of California that has multiple microclimates. And to be able to tell the story of not only are we Northern California, but we're also kind of coastal Scotland at the same time is really kind of unique.
And that goes to your golf course.
Of course.
The Lynx style classic Scottish seaside.
Yeah, well, you know, we are placed on two golf courses, and the two golf courses have two very different personalities as well. Obviously, one, the ocean course is very Lynx style. Obviously very scenic, looking over the ocean, I would say about 75% of the course. The old course is unique, where it's kind of more typical to what I grew up in the Northeast style of courses. There's a lot more trees and whatnot, but then you end up the round on one of the most beautiful holes in the country, mm-hmm. coming down the 18th towards the hotel.
And you're right seaside there.
You're right seaside. You know, unique fun fact that a lot of people don't know is actually the golf courses were here much before the actual hotel was, which creates a really unique dynamic between the two. So
I always assumed that you guys owned and operated the hotels as well as the golf courses, but not so.
No, not so. Again, as I said, they were here before us, and they've been gracious hosts to us. And we have an incredible partnership with, not only from, you know, obviously our guests would take advantage of that and their guests taking advantage of our offerings, but on top of that, our group clients really take advantage of that, where they'll, you know, pick our resort specifically because we have two golf courses to be able to accommodate mm-hmm. quite a large group of people to go into a tournament.
And just having a golf course is a selling point in itself, but what a bonus to have two distinctly different.
For sure. And I think that that's the important piece, is that they are distinctly different. So mm-hmm. it provides you with opportunity, you know, to have a completely different experience and hopefully be able to increase our length of stay as well.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about some of your clients and
who's attracted and where they come from?
Well, let me tell you about all the celebrities. No, I'm just joking. Yeah, we have a unique mix here. So obviously with our destination, you know, we're on a good day, 35 minutes south of San Francisco, on a good day, 25 minutes, 30 minutes from Silicon Valley. Again, that creates a very unique drive market for both our leisure guests on the weekend, as well as some of our smaller group clients. Obviously being close to Silicon Valley, executives from the tech industry are able to come over here and have executive retreats, but yet still very accessible to their offices.
It is crazy how close you are to very distinctly different worlds.
Yeah.
Even going a little further south, Monterey Peninsula, that's a day trip, easy.
Exactly. And I think that that's one of the most unique pieces to this. I think of a staycation in other parts of the country. So if you're in New York, you go to the Hamptons, like that's a couple hour drive. Mm-hmm. Or if I bring it closer to home, I'm from Toronto, Canada. Typically, we'll make the 4 hour drive up north to the Muskokas if you're going for your summer house. Here, you don't need to go more than 30 minutes to be in a completely different climate and have a staycation. But again, feel completely separated, as we kind of talked to before we jumped on this.
Or even coming from Silicon Valley for fine dining in the evening after work. Mm. How crazy.
Yeah. Well, something we're very, very passionate about is our culinary program. You know, you walk into the entrance of the hotel and you're welcomed by this wonderful kind of beach house feel, right? As you walk closer and into it, obviously you have the wonderful views of the floor-to-ceiling windows. Really, really quite impactful walking into the property. You know, there's some great coastal feels, of course, there, but some really great local dishes that we'd like to feature there. And really the place that we feature more of our fun play on cocktails. You know, if I were to say my favorite would be just hanging a right there and going to our fine dining restaurant, which is Navio. And Navio is loosely translated to a ship or to naval in Portuguese. Mm-hmm. So when you walk in, you almost feel like you're in a ship. And, you know, it's Michelin-worthy cuisine, really elevated, 3-course or 7-course options with wine pairings, with caviar pairings. And one of the things I think we're most proud of is the nuance of our brunch program that we've gone into on in Navio. You know, no longer are the days of buffet service and whatnot. We've really quite elevated it to be more of a 2-hour fine dining experience. But yet you could sit there and have 6 dishes if you wish, or you could indulge and have 16. But again, with, you know, wonderful pairings and cocktails to go with it. So we're really quite proud of both of those.
That's really cool. And again, talk a little bit about your corporate group clients that come here and where they come from.
We're fortunate to have them coming from all over the country. I think there's 2 different types of clients that we have. We'll have large groups mainly coming from kind of the Northeast, you know, which is fairly typical, a good Midwest crowd as well. But we have a lot of very great local clients that are very, very loyal to us. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a mix. And COVID, again, has kind of changed what that dynamic was. We used to have a lot of what we call anchor groups where, you know, they're 200 group room nights on nights. You know, you probably have 300 attendees or so, be quite large. Gone are those days. And, you know, we have a lot more groups, but they're a lot more boutique, which our property does a very great job in managing. And it's also really great for that because we separate our property into 3 different sections. We have our north wing, which is for our larger groups. But then we have our east and our west wing, which are really great for intimate groups, but providing privacy to all 3. And especially, you know, once you get to the West Wing and you have the views from the West Wing, it's quite spectacular.
And so even your larger corporate groups that come here, reading between the lines, it appears they would do more breakout, smaller subgroups rather than the big mass general meeting in a large auditorium.
We do have our large ballroom, so they'll start in that session. Depending on their group contribution, you know, they'll break out into smaller spaces. And again, even the North Wing has a number of smaller spaces that they're able to break out into, which is great. And then in the evenings where Navio isn't open, we actually also are open to doing some buyouts of our restaurants as well to supplement our event space. And not to mention that, you know, we're talking about the indoor space right now, but I think one of the things things that we've done really well throughout the reopening of hotels and group business. Mm-hmm. We've really taken advantage of our outdoor space. So we have a number of outdoor spaces, one closer to the golf course, which is able to be tented. A lot of people have taken advantage of that to coincide with their group events or with their golf events, mm-hmm. if that's part of their program. But our ocean lawn is really, really popular, not only for a group aspect, but also for being one of the best destinations for weddings and social events in the area.
So a lot of lessons learned post-COVID, right?
For sure, for sure. Yeah, I think, you know, the team's done a good job in adapting and, in essence, enhancing a lot of our offerings from the learnings that we got from COVID.
So going forward, is it growing? Is it? Are we kind of over the COVID era?
If I could be so bold to say yes.
Yeah, hopefully.
But I say yes, but I don't know that we'll ever be over it. I mean, it's something that I think we're just moving towards living with, and we have a better understanding of it, but it'll stick with us, as has the common flu. But I think we do have to be agile. One, groups and leisure business, it comes at a last minute basis now.
Oh, really?
So it's, yes.
It's not that long-term planning.
Correct.
That's a major shift for you.
Yeah, it is. And, yeah. And it puts a lot of stress on us, you know, from mm-hmm. a forecasting standpoint, it's a lot. You know, from a group perspective, we'll have groups of 10 to 20 to even 30 people coming in, executives coming in for a couple of days, and they're only asking for that 2 weeks out. From a leisure standpoint, people are looking at their phone on Thursday and saying, what's the weather going to be like if I'm in, let's say, Foster City, or mm-hmm. if I'm in San Mateo? And is it going to be nice here? Is it going to be too hot here? Do I need to cool off and go to the bay? And if, you know, that's the case, then they'll book their weekend stay the day before, which, again, we have to be quite, you know, agile with.
Yeah. And again, that really wasn't the operative 4 or 5 years ago.
Correct. Correct. Mm-hmm. People would definitely plan further out in advance.
Mm-hmm. Especially corporate. A year or two.
Of course. Well, and especially for our property, you know, I think, you know, the availability wasn't there. If you wanted to book 6 months out for a large group, that availability wasn't there. You know, one thing that hasn't changed throughout COVID, you know, we've been a stronghold in terms of the group market for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. So that remains the same. It's just, you know, the dynamic's a bit different.
Right.
I think, you know, we appreciate, obviously, the time you coming through on property. I think
fascinating to see, experience how corporate, from a hospitality end of things, acts and reacts and modifies and evolves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and those that don't evolve with it, you know, have taken longer to recover. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're on the verge of a record year here in 2022.
Wow. Really?
And it's quite surprising to many, you know, and many aren't as fortunate. But again, you know, going back to my earlier point, you know, the outdoor space that we have, not only from a group perspective, mm-hmm. but our terraces, our fireplaces, a space for people to be able to go and walk through the coastal trail, I mean, it is quite unique. And I think that all of those, as well as our communication of those assets, mm-hmm. has really been able to help us recover faster than most.
Well, and again, just the inherent geographic setting. Mm. I mean, you turn around, behind our shoulders are mm-hmm. awesome redwood peaked mountains, mm-hmm. over your shoulder, Pacific Ocean, crashing waves. Mm. How cool is that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the agriculture alone, I you know, as you walk through our property, I mean, I think florals are to the forefront of our property, mm-hmm. especially right now. You know, a shameless plug, you know, we're doing an activation right now where we have a large floral installation right in the lobby. We're supporting Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we're very proud of that. But the florals throughout the entire property are quite spectacular on a regular basis. We change them every Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I would say this is one of the better floral budgets that I've ever had in my 17 years in luxury hospitality. This pays homage to all of what's available to us here locally with all the local farms. And then that translates as well to all the ingredients that we're able to use in our restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Well, even Half Moon Bay has been known forever as a flower growing mm-hmm. greenhouse capital of California. Mm-hmm. So you can reach out arm's length. And I haven't seen your pumpkins yet, but I mean, this is the pumpkin capital of the world.
Yeah, you know, I haven't mentioned it yet, but, you know, in we're about to change, and we're going to go from a pink hotel to an orange hotel, and we'll be in full celebration of Pumpkin Festival, which obviously is near and dear to all of our hearts. It's a very special time here. As you said, it's the pumpkin capital of the world.
Well, don't they have the contest for, like, the world's largest pumpkin?
Yeah, October 10th. Excited for it. We're always a part of the festivities. Mm-hmm. We're constantly looking to be more of a part, and it'll be interesting to see. We have some nuances in our decor this year, so we're really excited to showcase that. Again, you know, it's important for us to be part of the local community. I think that there's some new exciting things happening in Half Moon Bay. Recently, there was a wine and jazz festival that took place for the first time. There's going to be a film festival happening near the end of this year for the first time, that's been trying to get off the ground throughout COVID. Mm-hmm. So there's more happenings going on, and I think, you know, it's our job to help support the community here and continue to be part of those.
That's really cool. Well, thanks for sharing. This has been fascinating.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Tom. Thank you.
Yeah, and to learn more about your world, you have a website. Go to
our website as well. Go to our Instagram page. You know, we're constantly trying to amplify what's happening on mm-hmm. property in real time. So, yeah, please visit us. And you know what? Just make the trip over the hill, or, you know, take a quick flight over. SFO has great air flight. So please come visit us.
I love it. Well, it's a 4-hour drive for me, so not a day trip.
Yeah.
I love it.
For sure.
All right. Well, thanks again.
Again, Jason Bossenberry, Director of Sales and Marketing at the Ritz-Carlton Half Moon Bay.
Cool. Jason, thanks. Thank and you. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Ritz-Carlton Half Moon Bay. We'll see you here.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website, foundation@hearstcastle.com, to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
Come with me and we'll attend their jubilee and see them spend their lives to bits for none of it.